Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call of Suryoday Small Finance Bank, hosted by InCred Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jignesh Shial from InCred Equities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Shree, and good evening, everyone. On behalf of InCred Equities, I welcome you all to Suryoday Small Finance Bank Limited 2Q and H1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have along with us Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran, MD and CEO, along with the top management team of Suryoday Small Finance Bank. We are thankful to the entire team for allowing us this opportunity. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jignesh. Good evening, everybody. On behalf of Suryoday Small Finance Bank, I extend a warm welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call. I have with me my colleagues, Kanishka Chaudhary, who is our CFO, Narayan Rao, who is our Chief Services Officer, Shashi, who leads our analytics function, and Himadri Das, who is our Head of FP&A. I hope everyone has an opportunity to go through the presentation for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2022, uploaded on the stock exchanges. The global economy is facing multiple headwinds such as inflationary pressures, rising interest rates, energy crisis, currency volatility. Global central banks have announced aggressive rate hikes in the past 6 months, except for only a few major economies. The rate hikes are complemented by a contraction in global currency in circulation, the size of the central bank's balance sheet, and money supply measures. On the positive side, however, the Indian economy has shown resilience and has been growing on a steady state basis with all the growth levers in place. The credit offtake is clearly visible in the economy, with bank lending growing at double-digit rates in FY 2023. In September, non-food credit growth crossed 15% year-on-year for the first time since 2018. A sustained rise in the bank credit usually signals an economic recovery. The growth momentum is intact despite rising inflation in the economy. The inflation has necessitated RBI to increase the repo rate by 190 bps to 5.9% so far in this financial year. We are delighted to report that the bank had demonstrated steady performance in H1 FY23, as the inclusive finance and connected lines of business have almost recovered back towards pre-COVID levels of growth. The bank's gross advances for H1 FY23 grew by 20.3%, which stood at 5,378.4 crores, while the disbursement for the period grew by 50.3%, which stood at 2,130 crores compared to 1,417.8 crores in the same period last year. Along with the growth in disbursements, the bank has also witnessed the healthy customer addition of 4.7 lakh customers in the last 1 year, taking the total customer base to nearly 20.9 lakhs. A growth of 29% on a year-on-year basis. We are committed in delivering a monthly pre-provision operating profit of approximately 40 crores per month. On the profitability side, the bank has turned profitable and reported a profit of PAT of 20.8 crores in H1 FY23 as compared to a loss of 49.7 crores in the corresponding half year last year. Now let me give some light on the key operational and financial metrics as on H1 FY23. On the business performance front, our disbursements grew by 50.3% to 2,130 crores compared to 1,417 crores in H1 FY22. The disbursements, particularly in inclusive finance business, stood at 1,491 crores during the half-year period, resulting in a growth of 37.3% against H1 FY22. The bank has ramped up its disbursal in the inclusive finance segment as well as in the micro home loan segment and has commenced two-wheeler business loans recently. Our collection efficiency is improving gradually on the back of the business and economy nearing pre-COVID levels. The overall collection efficiency for half year is 94.6%. On the gross advances front, we grew by 20.3% to 5,378 crores on a year-on-year basis. The inclusive finance business currently comprises of 64.4% of the asset book, while affordable home loans, commercial vehicles and secured business loan comprise 9.3%, 6.2% and 5.5% respectively. As a strategy, we have been increasing our share of non-inclusive finance business gradually over the last few years. Suryoday plans to achieve a secured portfolio book of 50 to 55% by FY25. Our focus on graduating the products of Vikas Loan to our inclusive finance customer currently comprises of 83,000 customers in individual lending, constituting a portfolio of 626 crores as on September. The entire repayment is through the standing instruction in our own bank accounts, and currently 95% of the repayments are through the bank accounts on the due date. The current collection efficiency stands of this portfolio at 99.2%. We have introduced end-to-end digital processes for this segment and are hopeful of accelerating business in the Vikas Loan portfolio. On the deposits front, our deposits stood at 4,207 crores as compared to 3,129 crores in H1 FY22, an increase of 34.5% year-on-year. Retail deposits currently constitute 71.9% of the total deposits, and the balance comprises of bulk deposits. CASA currently stands at 17.3%, which is in line with our granular retail strategy. The borrowings as of September end constitute 28% of the total liabilities, majority of which 91% is from refinancing institutions. On our distribution side, Suryoday currently has 567 branches, of which 92 branches are liability-focused, while 362 branches are asset-focused branches, and the balance comprises of rural centers. Through this branch network, the bank currently services 20.9 lakh customers, of which total asset customers are 16.7 lakhs. On the asset quality front, the GNPA, NNPA and PCR currently stand at 9.9%, 4.8% and 77.5% respectively. Delinquency in the portfolio has declined sequentially on the back of improved collection efficiency. The collection efficiency on the restructured book stood at 65%, and 26% of the NPA customers are paying customers. We are continuing our efforts to recover the overdue from the restructured portfolio. On the earnings update, on the earnings side, our net interest income stood at 353 crores compared to 270 crores, an increase of 30.4% year-on-year. Net total income stood at 390.8 crores as compared to 326 crores, an increase of 19.8% year-on-year. The net interest margin improved from 8.4% in H1 FY22 to currently 9.1% in H1 FY23. Cost of funds reduced to 6.6% compared to 7.3% in the corresponding quarter last year. Cost to income currently stands at 55.9% as compared to 58.3% in H1 FY22, primarily due to increase in income. The company reported a profit of 20.8 crores against a loss of 49.6 crores in the corresponding period. We continue to hold a floating provision of 91.6 crores on our books. On the capital adequacy front, we continue to remain well capitalized, and the capital adequacy of our bank is currently 35.9% as compared to 37.9% as on FY22. Of this capital adequacy, Tier 1 comprises of 33.1% and Tier 2 comprises of 2.8%. I would now like to highlight some of our other updates. Our technology transformation project Pragyan has been successfully completed in August 2022. The bank has successfully migrated its core banking solution to Finacle. The bank has partnerships with three payment banks, Airtel, Fino, and Paytm for end-to-end digital process for sweep accounts and currently fixed deposit arrangements with Fino. The bank is engaging with various technology partners for its assets and liability products. We are strengthening our distribution channels to promote small ticket fixed deposit as low as rupees 1,000 distributed through our customer service points as well as through our inclusive finance branches for amount as low as rupees 1,000. The turnaround time for delivering this product is currently 100 seconds. The focus continues to be on retaining existing customers and graduating them to Vikas Loan products. Vikas Loan enables end-to-end servicing. Vikas Loan's collections currently stand at 99.8%. And this book currently forms 23% of the overall inclusive finance portfolio. The secured business portfolio of the bank currently stands at 36%, and the bank intends to scale this to 50-55% by FY25. We are graduating our inclusive finance customers for home improvement loans and working capital needs to secured business loan financing. Finally, to summarize, our endeavor is to grow the loan book by 25-30% every year. The bank plans to achieve 400 crores of disbursal per month from Q3 FY23 and increase the share of secured lending in the overall product mix. On the deposit front, we foresee a great opportunity in leveraging our inclusive finance segment and offer them liability products and also other asset products to graduating customers. We aim to expand our presence cautiously in new states and strengthen our foothold in the existing states. Going forward, we target 40 crores of PPOP on a monthly basis from Q3 FY23 onwards, along with targeting an NNP target of 3% at the year end. This is our update from our end. Thank you. Over to you.
Should we start with the question and answer session, sir?
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. So the two questions. So one is that what is the total write-off for this quarter?
Sir?
The write-offs for the quarter is 93 crores, Renish.
Okay. And sir, related to that is that, you know, in PPT we are saying we want to reach net NPA of 3% by March 23. But when we look at the current quarter trend, you know, even having the credit cost at upwards of 5%, our net NPA, you know, went down by only 20 basis points. So, sir, what kind of a credit cost we have to take, you know, to reach the targeted level of net NPA of 3% by March 23?
Yeah, hi, sir. So, sir, my question is related to our net NPA target of 3%. You know, so to achieve that target, what kind of a credit cost we are assuming for second half?
Renish, our entire moratorium portfolio has come to a payment pattern from July 1st. So which means that whatever were not kind of under moratorium has the payment track record in terms of repayment has commenced. So we have seen the reasonable peaking during the month of September. And of course, spillover happens in the month of October and a very, very small spillover of non-paying portfolio of restructured finance happening in November. We are kind of assuming a credit cost of around, from a provisioning point of view, around closer to around 100 to 125 crores through the remaining period. And if needed, probably another 25 crores of additional is what we'll be providing. A targeted PPOP for the for next 6 months is approximately around 225 to 240 crores. So we are assuming that around 225 to 140 crores will flow towards the provisioning as required. We are also having around 30% of our NPA book, which is paying. The intent now with the entire picking out is to really kind of pull back the paying portfolio into the non-NPA fold as well. Four, three cases, one direct.
Got it. So, sir, just last question on the interest income and the yield side. So, sir, we have seen that, you know, post the new MFR regulation, the lending rate for the microfinance loans have actually gone up. Vis-a-vis now, we have seen 20 basis point decline in the yields, and which is what actually reflected in 1% sequential interest income growth versus the 5% AUM growth. So, sir, what explains that? I mean, why there is a decline in the yield on sequential basis?
Yeah, so Renish, you know, last year, same time, the retail asset portfolio secured book was around 30% of my portfolio. We have now grown it to 36% of the portfolio. So there's a mix change which is really causing this minor compression. And as
I have actually talking about the sequential numbers, not the YOY.
Can you repeat your question once more, please, Renish?
Yeah. So, let's say if we look at our blended yields, okay, it has actually contracted by almost 30 basis points from 19.1 to 18.8 this quarter, right? I mean, this is 30 basis point sequential decline. Vis-a-vis, when we look at the industry trend, you know, post the new regulation got implemented from April 1st, you know, on the removal of the pricing cap, the lending rates for the microfinance loan have actually gone up. I mean, that is what we have seen for the other MFI players. So I was just wondering, you know, why there is a decline on sequential basis when industry rates are going up.
So, see, on the microfinance side, we have not increased our rates, even though in this particular quarter, the cost of funds have increased, right? That explains part of the reduction that you see of 30 basis points, and that's offset by the corresponding increase in the retail assets as book.
Okay. And would you have a fixed versus floating rate book split?
So our floating rate book is something that we offer only in the home loan and LAP portfolio. As things stand today, around 40% of our home loan book is on fixed and rest is on floating.
Okay, 60%. Okay, got it. 60% of home loan LAP is floating basically. Okay, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, my first question is, what changes you have done or proposed to do to your MFI business post RBI new guidelines? For instance, in one of your interviews, you have spoken about 3-year, 10-year loan becoming more common rather than 1-year term.
That's right, Anil. So what you are likely to see post introduction of that is that the indebtedness is, in my view, rightly now explained, is in terms of the repayment capacity rather than by the size of the loan that they have absorbed. So that enables the funding into the segment of long tenor if it is more secured, and certainly for graduating customers. So we offer overall customers, we have around 4.5 lakh customers which has been through COVID-1-2, demonstrated substantial ability and intent to pay, not just to us, but to across other lenders, including retail asset financing that they have taken. They have exposure to that. So earlier it was all restricted to 1.5 years, max 2 years. Now our Vikas loan portfolio is offered for a tenor of both 2 years and 3 years. But however, what we see from our customers in inclusive finance segment for unsecured loans, even for a value of 1 lakh, is to prefer 2 years broadly. Around 80% of our portfolio still, even given a choice of 2 and 3 years for a 1 lakh rupees loan, happens to be at around two-year curve. So, but gradually as the ticket size increase or we kind of extend products, which are more like secured business loan against their property for business purposes, they're likely to see over around 4 to 5 years, the installment amount continuing to be the same as it is for a 1 year, 1 lakh loan for a 1.5 year period. So you are likely to see all of those innovations or extensions of tenors in the coming months because of the new microfinance regulations.
Yeah. And so second question is, can you elaborate more on your micro LAP and micro housing loans? For this loan I'm talking about between 3 to 5 lakh ticket size, and how big this segment can become in the next 3 to 5 years, and will it be more focused on MFI customers or non-MFI customers?
Anil, it will be more focused on the inclusive finance customer segment, not necessarily our existing micro inclusive finance customers alone. So as we kind of realize that because of one getting a holistic view of the household, which has commenced from 1st of October, even at the lady of the household who happens to be a customer, the retail asset penetration currently stands at closer to 30 to 35% out of the track which is available for our core customer. Either she is the borrower or a co-borrower in a loan. There are multiple loans at the household levels, including say probably a two-wheeler loan or a car loan or a small ticket CV loan, which the lady of the household who is our customer is not part of the deal structure. The new microfinance regulations allow us to get a comprehensive view of the household, and to that extent, it is not a 3 to 5 lakhs. The what we call as micro home loans is between 4 lakhs to 10 lakhs max, and above that it becomes affordable home in a different segment. The micro LAP segment plays out between 3 lakhs to around 7 lakhs, and 3 to 5 lakhs is a sweet spot for the customers, including easy documentation. Currently, approximately around 2 lakh of our customers minimum will be targeted for the micro LAP, but however the process is, has to be really be, you know, convenient in terms of not looking for a full legal documentation to the dot, but as long as there is a ownership and there is a business visibility of the household doing, around 2 to 5 lakhs will be the sweet spot. We believe that it will be around closer to 50,000 customers what we will target in FY24.
Yeah. My last question is, you have started OD facility for MFI customers and CV customers. Two-part question for this. So what is the rationale and how has been the experience about the acceptability and credit cost in this product?
We had introduced this product during the COVID when customers displayed a behavior saying that no, we are really hesitant to pay though we have the money because we are not sure what will happen in the subsequent couple of months. So we introduced small ticket OD completely digital means for approximately 3 lakh customers. The experience of around approximately 2 lakh customers was good. For another 1 lakh customers, they invariably either by circumstantial or partially by intent, it became not a great performing loan, including their main loan. So that was probably around 30% in terms of really didn't play out well. So also the learning out of that clearly for us was that the first nudge would be to kind of the customers to start operating the bank account they have with us meaningfully and build products around that. So purely introducing a OD product without inculcating that behavior did not prove to be very successful. Our entire Vikas loan business today, what we built around close to 80,000 customers as of September, around 600 crore portfolio, 95% of that money comes through the banking, our own bank accounts, where the customer deposits the money before the due date. So on the exact due date, we only apply a standing instruction, and consistently it has been hovering around 94 to 95%. Now that this becomes a reasonable operative account, introducing a OD product will be very beneficial both for the customer. It means that the customer pays interest only for the number of days that she uses. But more importantly, from a bank point of view, we get visibility in terms of the usage pattern, the credit behavior of the customer when the limit is available and they can use it. And we do believe that we will reintroduce that in a more robust manner. And the potential of that we see pretty high, and at least an approximate of around 10,000 per customer for a 10 lakh customer of ours.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir. We'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Priya Verma from NR Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. There are two questions. Firstly, are we focusing on any new product launch in H2 FY23?
Okay, the next one.
And the next one is, looking at the balance sheet, the fixed assets have jumped from 41 crores in last September to 158 crores this September. So what is the reason for such a steep hike?
Sure. In terms of the new products, the one which we are really doing is an end-to-end for our inclusive finance customers through clear visibility of data analytics around closer to 10 lakh customers seem to be of good quality both by intent and ability to pay. So we introduced a digital mapping exercise for the household called Sarathi app, where we capture both the details of the house as household as well as in terms of their business. So this is the first step that we are introducing Vikas loan, where the customer makes the payment to the bank account. For a period of time, we would like to reduce our dependence of cash collections of going to the doorstep of the customer and dealing with it. While prima facie it looks a little more riskier to deal with the customer one-to-one, there has been a clear breakout post-COVID, where customers are also equally comfortable in dealing with the institutions on one-on-one for their requirements than standing guarantee throughout beyond even second, third, fourth cycle. So we want to build Vikas loan as the first product, again reintroduce the small ticket OD over and above that. And the usage of UPI is near 100% at the household level. At the lady of the household level, it's still not substantial, at least in the inclusive finance segment. But when you start operating OD product, we believe that we will build that as well and probably take the account to the household level. And the product is not a new product to be introduced, but pre-approved two-wheeler where approved for the customer and they can simply kind of go to a dealership and take it. And introduce similarly secured business loan. So all of that can happen once they have a comprehensive information without reaching out to the customer every time she really needs it. It's more of an execution is what we'll be focusing for the inclusive finance customer in FY23, the remaining period, as well as in FY24. And on the balance sheet, we will fix it as an increase request KC2.
Yeah. So we got done with our transformation project called Project Pragyan in the month of August. So we have capitalized the costs of the project, which is what you see as an increase in the assets.
Thank you so much. That answers my question.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akash Mehta from Kepaz Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. So my first question was that how do you see the trajectory for cost of funds and the cost of deposits going forward given the backdrop of the rising interest rates?
So I believe that for our requirements, currently we have a surplus of around closer to 750 crores, which will kind of get utilized. We'd like to maintain a surplus of around at least 300-350 crores. So this there will not be increase in the excess liquidity which will be utilizing. Or the new deposits are coming at an incremental cost of approximately 50 basis points to 700 basis points over our current cost of deposits. So approximately 20% of the build-up were to happen at around, even at a 75-80 pips, likely increase in the cost of funds overall is likely to be around 20 to 30 pips during the remainder of the year, assuming that there is no substantial increase in the interest rate environment from here on.
Yes, so a surplus of 350 crores.
Our current surplus is closer to 700 crores. We would like to maintain 300 to 350 crores at all points in time. So that's okay. How the liquidity is being managed by us.
Okay. And Can you briefly elaborate on the collection efficiency level product-wise, which is in the product that is witnessing challenges in terms of collection?
So overall, our collection efficiency is 94.6, as we have indicated. Insofar as inclusive finance business is concerned, our collection efficiency is around 87%. And when it comes to the mortgage business, we are on an overall basis at 117%, while one EMI capped is 95.
Okay. And that answers the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Devendra Pandey from DP Financial. Please go ahead. Mr. Pandey, can you please unmute your line?
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Good evening and thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on GNPA, which is still at the elevated level. So is there any behavioral issue by the customers in repayment, or there is any structural issue we face within the markets where we operate?
Couple of things. One, Maharashtra has been substantially impacted by the overall level. At the credit bureau level, it indicates that around closer to 20% of the portfolio is in 90, 180 plus or in the write-off. So it's broadly a reflection of that. And we have kind of completed all our moratorium by June 8. So what has to flow through has flown through. Currently, while we stand at around close to 98% collection in the portfolio which we built post June 21, we have also been cautious in terms of not increasing the ticket sizes, which is, we wanted to kind of watch it over completely before it all plays out. So as you really see, then we are focusing on the 4.5 lakh shortlisted customers who have been through COVID 1 and 2. So our base per se has not increased substantially. To that extent, the post June 21 portfolio still comprises only approximately around 80% of our overall portfolio. So there is the pressure that we currently see is overall coming in from the pre-June 21 portfolio, which is around approximately 700 crores, of which around 50% is still not paying. If you have to explain in terms of the collection efficiency, we have around 9.9% as the GNPA, 35% of the customers are paying, which means that 60% of 10%, approximately 6%, which is not paying, which is translating into 94. As the base of June post-June 21 portfolio keeps increasing, we kind of see that the percentage of collections going up. If there's a challenge in terms of the portfolio, it is in terms of the 700 crores of pre-June 21 portfolio where we are 50% to 50% not paying and only 45% to 50% paying. Now that the elevated ones is done with, there was an increase quarter on quarter in terms of the moratorium customers, restructured customers coming in. We have seen all of that behind at this point of time, including a peaking out happening in October, beyond even September. And the focus now would be to get back customers who have been paying other institutions and not paying us, probably because we are not in touch with the customers, or customers we have been in touch and kind of lost their touch over the last 3-4 months. So get it back, their confidence that around close to 35% of the GNPA will be recovered through the next 5 to 6 months' time. The challenge will continue to be on the remaining 60%, which is around 6% of the portfolio, which is approximately around, say, 400 crores, 425 crores to be precise, is where we see a challenge in terms of recovery. Current provision that we have against that is 320 crores.
Got it. And since now we have returned to the profitability part, so what kind of ROAs and ROEs would we be targeting in H2 and FY24 onwards?
Well, before really kind of getting into ROA and ROE, we are looking at clearly around 40 crores of PPOP. We used to be clocking that around close to 30 to 32 crores pre-COVID. So we are kind of back as a disbursement, as you would have seen. It was a little tempered growth in the first 6 months of just about 20% growth. And now on the back of this 7.5 lakh good customers, which were really kind of deepening through the Vikas Loan product, we believe that we'll end the year with closer to 20% upwards. And the PPOP will return back to around closer to 40 to 45. 40 crores is what we're aiming on a consistent basis for 6 months. As the base builds, it's likely to kind of stretch ourselves to 45 crores. Of which, as I kind of indicated, that of the 425 crores of non-paying portfolio, whether GNPA or regular, but around 425 to 450 crores non-paying, we have covered around 320 crores of provisioning. So assuming that we'll have to provide 100 crores over the next 6 months, that's approximately around closer to 15 to 20 crores per month. So around 20 crores of PBT visibility is what we want to really work on. So that will convert itself into approximately, for mathematically extrapolating, 20 into 12, even assuming that it remains the same, around 250 crores of PBT run rate is what you'll be expecting.
Understood. Understood. And sir, lastly, on our asset side, so as a percentage of AUM, how much AUM is the floating rate loans?
So, like I indicated, it's only in the HL portfolio where we have a fixed rate loan product. So, in the HL portfolio, we have around 40% of the book which is fixed rate. Rest all is floating, and the inclusive finance business is a fixed rate loan. So, apart from that, everything else is floating.
So the rest floating rate AUM, are we able to pass on the increasing interest rate cost to those customers?
Yeah, so we have been able to, pass on the rate hike to a considerable extent, especially in this particular quarter. But one of the advantages that we have is that if you look at our funding side, we have a mix of borrowings and deposits. And all our borrowings, which are 50% of our overall funding, are multi-year long tenor borrowings with rates locked in. So we do have a bit of a comfort that side. But yes, we have, beginning this particular quarter, tried passing on the interest rate hikes. And on most of the products, we have raised in rates by at least 50 basis points.
Understood, sir. And is there any specific number we are targeting in terms of customer addition? Or we are just focusing on increase the wallet share from each customer we already have?
In the inclusive finance segment, we used to kind of have a very comfortable growth of around close to 25 to 30,000 customers per month. So we would like to kind of go back to acquiring closer to 30,000 new customers, mostly new to bank, not necessarily new to credit, on a month-on-month basis.
Okay. And sir, my last question is that our deposits have grown at a considerably higher rate compared to our gross advances. So, why there is so much difference there between deposit growth and advances growth?
As we kind of became a bank from an MFI, from an asset liability management perspective, we wanted to have closer to 30 to 35% of our liabilities as contractual in nature. So which was the refinancing mechanism and the remaining to be catered to by net worth. So overall balance sheet broadly at that point of time we want to have 20% of our balance sheet as net worth around close to 35 to 40% in terms of refinance and the remaining through deposits. So currently we are kind of having been a bank for the last 5 years. The intent is to slowly increase the deposit percentage and our current CD ratio stands closer to around 125 to 130%. The ideal thing for a bank would be at least be at 100% or little lesser than 100%. So the focus is in terms of driving deposit to constitute a share in an absolute amount which is equivalent to our overall asset book.
Got it, sir. Thank you for answering my questions. If I have anything, I will join the queue.
Thank you, Devendra.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving me chance once again. So this is the industry-related question. So after this new RBI guidelines on microfinance, do you think the frequent high credit cost events will come down or at least the 10% credit cost event will become much more rare going forward?
10% what?
Credit cost.
Credit cost event, because in the past 5 years we have two credit cost events, Demon and COVID. So, will the RBI guidelines help in reducing the credit cost structurally for the industry?
It all depends on the customer segment that each one will choose. While on, somebody mentioned, Renish mentioned, while there has been a quick increase in interest rate, at least specifically from MFI is what we saw post 1st of April 2022, the regulations require all the regulated institutions to declare the minimum, max and the average interest rate on the microfinance loans. To a point where it also states that RBI also may start kind of publishing these rates on their website. So it would mean that when there is a transparency of rates to be disclosed and which now necessitates us to give us an APR including any life insurance amount premium which is deducted upfront out of the disbursement, at an overall level, while there was an immediate increase, it is likely to kind of become moderated over a period of time. And as things mature, there will be a clamor for acquiring customers with excellent track record, as it will happen in any lending product, and it may become digital at some point of time where the customer will do even a balance transfer out of a new loan directly from the lending institution to the institution we have a loan. So these are likely to kind of happen, but while there is an increase which has happened now, it gives a view in terms of entire household. So somebody wants to manage a credit cost manageable, which is programmable, they will have to choose the customer segment accordingly. While there has been a collateral damage out of COVID, what it has also, on the positive side, is that 80% of the household at, across the state, across overall, assuming the 20% has went through the pressures in terms of repayment, have demonstrated a great behavior in spite of challenges of an external environment. So, and it also made each of the institutions to deal with the customer broadly on a one-on-one with no guarantee getting really enforced. So as long as you deal with the customer one-on-one, your risk patterns will depend on the customer segment you choose and how you deal with the customer with stickiness. So if it has to be taken forward, the credit cost would be the call of each and every institution. Very important that while the norms do allow the obligations to be calculated based on the installment amount rather than the quantity of the loan, anybody pressing an accelerator of an unsecured loan to the existing customer purely on track record may increase the credit risk and consequently the credit cost. So each one will determine the range at which they would like to do and hence will pick the customer segment. That's our take.
Yeah, thanks. So, and the second question is on the branches. We are converting, so it's a two-part question. So we are converting some of the liability branches into composite branches. So what sort of assets we are introducing into these liability branches? And the second is we have more than 350 asset branches. So any plan to convert these asset branches or some of the asset branches into liability branches or use this network to raise the liabilities?
Actually, we don't have any plans now of converting liability branches into asset branches as well. We may start sourcing affordable home loan and secured business loan, which is mortgages. But what we call as composite branches is broadly asset branches, which then become focused on liabilities as well, with a separate team focused on liabilities. So currently, we have around 26 branches, which are predominantly asset, started with asset branches, also to sourcing of deposits. The intent is to increase the 26 to 50 branches by end of this financial year.
Okay. So if I understood correctly, composite branches means asset branches which are also being used for liability branches, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot for a very detailed answer and all the best.
Thank you, Anil.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So, just a small clarification. See, on the portfolio which originated post June 21 is having a collection efficiency of 98.2. So, this is one EMI adjusted or this is including arrears?
One EMI adjusted.
One EMI.
We broadly calculate our collection efficiency on one EMI adjusted and thereafter look at the overall thing which includes arrears. But what we are speaking now on post June 21 is one EMI adjusted.
Okay. And sir, on this 6% of the customer base, which is non-paying as of now, so sir, what is our writing of policy? I mean, is it at par with the IRAC norms for unsecured loans or we have aggressive writing of policy?
We have a little aggressive write-off, I mean, at least technical write-off policy, not a full write-off policy.
So, what you see is essentially a technical write-off, which means that we are not waiving our right to be able to reach out to the customers to recover the dues. And yes, I mean, we have had technical write-offs for the last three quarters or so. But at the same time, the recovery efforts insofar as these pool of customers are concerned, they continue.
Got it. No, so, basically, I just wanted to get the sense that you know, the COVID-related write-off will actually come in FY25, I mean, not now.
No, actually, in our case, you would notice that the moratorium that had been provided by us was for a very short duration. And like we indicated a little while ago, our entire portfolio, which was provided moratorium, has come out of the moratorium by June 2022. So currently, the entire portfolio is actually getting built. And whatever restructured portfolio we had, which is around 420 crores today, and that portfolio has also come out of the moratorium. So we don't have any part of the portfolio which is not getting built today.
I understand that, you know, the current collection efficiency is on a total portfolio basis without any portfolio being under moratorium. But my question is the write-off, I mean the 6% of pool which is non-paying as of now, this write-off will actually come in 25, I mean not 23-24, because we have a technical write-off policy. I mean, is that right?
No, because see, that's not entirely the case, because let's say the portfolio that has come out of the moratorium now is something that can become worst case scenario, you know, NPA, let's buy somewhere between October to November, right? So which means that the write-off will kick in only 12 months thereafter, so which is December 24 to Jan 25, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I mean, 25, right? I mean, not 23-24. Yeah. Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Nisha Shah from NM Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I had two questions. The first is, how many branches are we targeting to open in the second half of this year, and any specific states?
We are kind of targeting to open around closer to 40 to 50 branches, predominantly inclusive finance branches, and probably around 5 to 6 would be deposit focused. So they'll be coming in mostly towards the Q4, which is more in terms of, you know, lining up for the business of FY24.
Okay, and my second question was that we have commenced a disbursement in the two-wheeler segment. So how is that business shaping up, and any quarterly target of disbursement for that?
No, not Nisha at this point of time. So we are kind of testing it out, making sure that end to end the customer experience is good. So we are not chasing any numbers out there, not put in at all. It's to really understand the product at this point of time, where we again are pretty confident in terms of a scale up of the product is not sourcing at the dealership point, but in terms of more to pre-approve our existing very good customers, which is approximately around 10 lakhs, and pre-approve them and deliver the product. So initial one is more of a testing phase at this point of time. We'll continue to be so for the next one quarter.
Okay, okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pulavarti Saikiran from Pulavarti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking me. Just one, just clarity. When you say 425 crores of whatever non-paying par 90 plus, is my calculation right that your total AUM is 5,378 crores? And in the presentation, you said that 90 plus par is 7.9%, hence you arrive at 425 crores. Is that the right way to look at?
Sorry, what we are really looking at is that, no, whether it was it's a non-NPA account or an NPA account, how much of the customers are non-paying? Usually in an inclusive finance segment, as long as the customer pays, even if they are 90 plus, the use of the tenor getting over in 2 years' time will get over in 2.5 years' time. And very likely quite a few of them come back to even to be good customers all over again. So currently we are running at around close to 450 crores of portfolio, which also includes closer to around 100 crores of portfolio, which is not at GNPA, not paying for two consecutive months. The current provisions that we hold today, including provisions against the structured advance against that as of September, is 320 crores. So the uncovered mathematical at this point of time as is approximately 130 crores. So if all the non-paying customers were to continue to remain non-paying and has to, if it has to be provided for, the uncovered piece at this point of time is 130 crores.
Got it, sir. Got it. So just as a follow-up, sir, because you have invested meaningfully in the collections and then you're also having incremental efforts getting in there.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Kiran, can you use the handset, please? The sound is coming off.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Yeah, is it better now?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm just wanting like a bit more efforts getting into the collections, and also you have hired a lot of people getting in. How do you see this, what I can say, whether the current 320 crores provisions will be sufficient, or would you believe that some more provisions are needed going forward?
As I said, currently the uncovered piece of that between non-paying and what we are provided for is around approximately 130 crores. So if things were to remain as is, that's the max that you will have to kind of, you know, provide for the portfolio at this point of time. The good news is that the existing portfolio I mean, the portfolio which is built post-June 21 continues to be robust, but extremely important that we'll have to be watchful of it out of our experience, and that's where we are really building in the Vikas loan, which is where you keep dealing with a customer one-on-one, kind of gives you a complete insight, not just for the customer, but the household level. We believe that the challenge of the past has also given an opportunity to kind of, you know, graduate and go more deep, rather than acquiring more and more customer and building up the entire base purely by looking at the prepayment past prepayment track record. So that was, as is speaking, left as it is, non-paying will continue to be non-paying, where we always have stated the gap has been uncovered and currently they stand at 130 crores.
Got it. So the clarity for the organization, whether this will remain unpaid or not, is it fair to assume that in the next 6 to 9 months we will be able to understand and then provide accordingly?
In 6 months, yes. I think 6 months is substantially a very good time to kind of, you know, get a clarity, and as needed, we'll kind of, as I said, that at around current even run rate of PPOP around closer to 90 to 100 crores. So you double that, it's around approximately 200 crores. So we'll have to then provide for a substantial piece of that 100 crores for the next 6 months, and that kind of, you know, cleans up all that's there at this point of time.
Got it, sir. One data keeping question finally from my side. Is there any accumulated losses at this point of time for us to take advantage in terms of the tax rates?
So we had 93 crores of loss on a financial year basis last year. That is something that we will be able to take advantage of, at least for the next couple of years as we see it.
So essentially, maybe the next year will be a full tax rate of 25%? Is that the assumption?
Yeah, so we will be able to take benefit of the credit losses that have led to the loss in the last financial year.
Great. Thanks, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Raj Gopal Ramanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Ramanathan.
Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Ramanathan.
Yeah, thank you. a couple of housekeeping details. Total write-offs that the bank has the total amount of write-offs in the last 24 months. And what percentage of these write-offs do you expect to collect over the next, maybe say, 2 to 3 years or so? That's the first question. The second one relates to your credit cost assumptions pre-COVID. Obviously, nobody had anticipated an event like COVID or any such sort of fatal events. So what were your pre-COVID credit cost assumptions on the entire book? And going forward, because some of these assumptions keep getting revisited based on the learnings of it, going forward, say over the next 2-3 years, and as the portfolio builds out, what is going to be your credit cost assumption for the future? I'm not necessarily saying for FY23-24 as such, but let's say if you were to budget it for this institution, assuming a steady state scenario, what would that be? What has been the loss given default experience that you would want to build in for the future? And there is one mention in the annual report where you mentioned that you have a lending or you have a tie-up with LendingCart. So I just wanted to understand, what is that tie-up, and is LendingCart actually originating loans on your behalf which are housed on your balance sheet? And what is the business rationale for Suryoday to have partnered with them? Thank you.
Sure. I think if you look at historically, looks like as is, we'll have to build the model of the past, which probably is looking very little different, substantially different now, as you start dealing with customer, with the heavy data available, and how you build stickiness around your customer. Earlier, the microfinance model was that in a particular locality, geography, if there is a default starts, there is a spillover impact was near 80 to 190%. So the entire thing kind of breaks out. There is a social pressure as much not to repay, as much as the social pressure to repay in good times. So the credit loss, we had to build that, would be around closer to 2.5% credit loss per year. But in inclusive finance, as you would always see in the microfinance segment, in sequential couple of years, even 3 or 4 years, the credit cut can be as low as 0.2 to 0.3%, 30 bps and 50 bps. That is the point you'll have to, then you have programmed for 2.5%. You'll have to continue to kind of, you know, do that on year basis, because what we see is this extreme events take out 10 to 15% of the overall portfolio. So if a bank that you build if it can technically can look like the contingency provisions can go to as high as 8 to 10% portfolio on a sequentially very good years. So if we were to build a shock-proof model, I would personally think, not necessarily probably this is a view of the bank, personally I would think that it can, it has to program for 2 to 1.5% and continuously build it even if you are not having a credit loss for 3 or 4 consecutive years, and whenever the event ever were to happen, then you have built up an enough buffer to do it and then keep moving. However, that said, it cannot be built as 2.5% model and keep lending. So earlier model was acquire more and more customer and reduce the risk by keeping the lending size. It's the same, whether it's the first cycle, it's 25,000, second cycle, 30,000, then 50,000, 70,000. Now we'll have to really look at customer to customer and we'll have to break out in terms of differentiating the customers clearly. As far as the lending card program is concerned, we have a very small portfolio at this point of time, which is 35 crores. The rationale is that in all the products, we may not, for instance, if somebody wants to co-lend with us, as of now, there's a little bit of an ambiguity in terms of regulatory allowance for SFBs to co-lend. If microfinance is what I can kind of have the expertise in and somebody wants to also be in the segment, it does not really kind of make any economic sense or a customer point of view for all of us to lend 30,000 rupees. It's good for some person who is strong to lend 1 lakh and kind of distribute the risk to the 2 more lenders and 3 more lenders. Lending card is especially is one in terms of sourcing small ticket MSME loans ranging between 5 lakhs to 25 lakhs. So while it's not an automatic pass-through, we underwrite it finally. They kind of source the customer, they do a preliminary selection and give it to us. So our intent is to really learn that piece of the business, and if it works well, take the partnership even at a strategic level, any partnership for that matter. Else otherwise, you use it only to kind of get into a segment without having a direct exposure into that segment. The learning curve can convert itself into a long-term partnership, or you can kind of choose to get into a segment yourself at some point of time. But today, all the partnerships are being looked at where it is a little more long-term rather than kind of utilizing it only on a short-term basis.
Okay. The total write-offs over the last 2 years?
It's 540 crores cumulative.
Cumulative. And what would you be realistically expecting to sort of collect over, say, the next, or maybe during this period and maybe over the next 2-3 years?
15% to 20, 15%.
15 to 20%. Okay. Okay. And steady state tier 1 levels, obviously you are at 35%, you keep growing the book at 25%. There is a fair amount of runway for from a capital standpoint. But what is that level of tier 1 which you would be budgeting for on a steady state basis?
We continue to be a 65% mix at the current portfolio mix. We always, as an MFI, never wanted to leverage beyond 3 times. Whenever we cross 3 times, we raise capital. We're pretty clear that it can't be a high leverage business if you are in the unsecured piece and specifically the inclusive finance segment. So if you carve out that piece of 65% of the book, we would think that around 25 to 30% should be the capital adequacy for that segment. And for the remaining 30, it can be 15%. So net-net, around 25 to 30 is what, 25 I think is what we'll be comfortable with at current mix. As the mix transforms itself to more secure, so probably a 20% plus would be comfortable. I would still prefer 25 over 20.
Okay. And what would be your aspirational ROAs, around 2% as things normalize?
More than ROE, our aspirational one is to be a good, steady 16 to 18% ROE.
Okay.
So, depending
but,
on the
given that your leverage is going to be not more than, say, 4 times, right? 3 to 4 times, you are essentially budgeting for something like a 4% ROE. Fair to say that?
Let me put it as 4 times in terms of the inclusive finance segment. So, and the remaining ones can be 7 to 8 times. If it is a pure home loan, mortgages, it can leverage itself into 7 times. So the net-net is at the current mix of 65 to 35, capital adequacy of around 20%, I think around 5%, 5 times the leverage is what we can really look at.
So in a way, you're talking about something like 250 to 300 basis points of ROA.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the time for
you. I'm sorry, your voice is breaking, Mr. Tulsiram.
Yeah. Now am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so the RBI has removed the limit on the number of lenders which can lend to microfinance customers.
But I think still Suryoday chooses not to be third or fourth lender for a MFI customer. So what's the rationale for that?
Same number of borrowers from the earlier old policy. It's a new one. We are still putting that gap. Suryoday is not ready.
Oh, no. I mean, I would have kind of expanded. Now, I think, no, it depends. Like, for instance, you have, based on all our kind of data, which we kind of intensely look at, kept looking at for the last 10 years, we have around 10 lakh customers whom we kind of think have a clear credit discipline, kind of demonstrated behavior over a period of years, including substantially through COVID 1 and 2. So if you really look at customers on their own, actually don't want to deal with too many lenders and very, very curated borrowers, usually take one large loan from one MFI and probably maximum one more. So anybody kind of who takes it from more and more institutions, too many loans, you generally kind of get into a behavior which may not be really be desirable. So we generally continue to have our conservative cap. But however, where we want to deepen the relationship, we would rather increase it to products as well as in higher ticket loans, as long as it's for clear demonstrated business purpose, then the distributing purely in terms of open up the cap. So we're still comfortable with a maximum lender cap around 3 in the microfinance segment. Now, if they've taken a car loan and if they've taken a vehicle, two-wheeler loan, we don't really count that out.
Okay. So is my understanding right that after the thing stabilizes, say after a year or two, we will be comfortable becoming the single large lender to a microfinance customer and our ticket size can increase up to 60,000-70,000 also for at least a good customer?
Because even today we do. We do lending up to 1 lakh rupees for very good customers. So the 77,000 customers, broadly we are given upwards of 75,000 rupees up to 1 lakh rupees. Currently 623 crore book as of September. And with a collection of not only 99.8%, 95% of the customers make the payment to our bank account well before the due date. And of course, we kind of sweep the money only on the due date, which is 7th and 10th. So the intent is to really, as the customers are graduating, not to treat them exactly like group loan customers of the past. So each one kind of, you analyze, you kind of appraise them individually. And that can happen when you capture all of that data one time rather than kind of giving a loan without doing too much of analysis, which is what we are using our Sarthi app, which we introduced, to get a holistic view. Very, very will be comfortable dealing with the customers for the loans that they require for a particular purpose rather than a same loan for everybody measured by the number of cycles they have been with you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And you just mentioned Sarthi app. Can you elaborate on that? What is that?
It's an app which now we've kind of moved to Finacle. Earlier, we were in a platform called FIS, where there is a substantial dependence on the vendors. One of our quick questions was also pertaining to why our fixed assets increase. Now we have kind of in-housed all of that. Initially went into the OPEX model for technology. So now, which meant that our dependence on the vendor was substantially higher for rolling out anything. So after moving into kind of Finacle, we have introduced this app where we capture all the information about a customer at the household level, as well as in terms of capture the photographs of the customer at the house, as well as in terms of the business place. Many a times it could be attached to the household itself, house itself, or it could be independent. And finally, the underwriting is done at the centralized level here based on the capability of the customer, both by the financial data as well as by in terms of other demographic data. And this rests with us for good. So tomorrow, even in the event of wanting to get in touch with the customer, we also take broad details, like at least electricity bill, the proof of which is beyond just the voter ID, which we used to take earlier. So this app captures all of that and puts it. So along with an analytics, we combine it and then we can choose and calculate an imputed income of the household and hence can kind of work out loans secured as well as unsecured based on their capability to repay rather than measured by the number of cycles they have been with you. So that's an app we have kind of rolled it out in the last 2 months.
Yeah. And so last question is, can you elaborate on your fintech strategy in which areas over the next 2-3 years we want to tie up with the fintechs, any particular product asset side, liability side, collection or underwriting, anything? The broader strategy for the fintech partnerships.
The fintechs, we have used it, including for sourcing accounts through the partnership with we have with Fino Payment Bank, Airtel Payment Bank, and with Paytm Payment Bank. With Fino, they also got a regulatory approval for to source fixed deposits for us, which will be rolled out in the month or two. So we would look at that as low-cost, fixed, granular fixed deposit, deposit mobilization, specifically in terms of fixed deposits. We'll continue to kind of invest in that in terms of our resources. And when it scales without really kind of adding exponential costs for sourcing. And on the asset side, while we're working on a few partnerships, one is lending cut at this point of time. We used to have with Paytm, which are paused because of our systems were getting aligned with the new digital guidelines. We'll still look at that partnership. We'll look at 3 or 4 partnerships in terms of assets and look at equal numbers, including payment banks in terms of sourcing liabilities. Whenever that breakout happens, the way in which liabilities will be sourced will become very, very different from the traditional model. But when that will happen is a question. So while we'll keep exploring that, we'll continue to focus on our usual traditional model through branches and through our regular digital channels. But that's something which a breakout can happen at some point of time.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot for a very elaborate answer. Thanks and all the best.
Thanks, Manas.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bhaskar Babu for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for participating in the call. In case you have any further doubt, please reach out to us and we'll be happy to find out an answer. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of InCred Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.